Ramsey TV.
My talk today is called Chaste Virgins for Christ. That's a quote from Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. And I'm going to look at several words in this passage. And I'm going to relate it to the distractions of life. You know, I think the beginning of the end was, I'm contradicting myself again. The beginning of the end of the era began with television. That became the focal point. That became the means, the first example of a means of mass communication where a central location can broadcast a message to everyone at the same time. That was it, man. I mean, and yet I just told you a couple hours ago that I was raised on TV and I loved it. Well, that's true too. And there's some things I like to, you know, do on my phone that I love, but in the long run, I think it's detrimental. And we're just getting used to being enslaved by these things. We just get used to it. 2 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 2. Paul didn't know anything about televisions or anything about cell phones or anything about computers, but here he goes. It's almost like he does. I betroth you to one man, capital M, to present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Of course, the virgin, it's an analogy, it's a metaphor, meaning singleness and purity to Christ. Yet I fear, Paul says, lest somehow, as the serpent deludes Eve by its craftiness, your apprehensions should be corrupted. What do you see what this word means in the Latin? Corrupted from the singleness and pureness which is in Christ. I'm going to stop there for now. I'm going to look at these individual words. The word serpent. This is such a great thing that I have to write this down. The Greek word for serpent. Don't tell my dentist about this. Okay. Ophis is a Greek word for serpent. And do you know what that English element of that word is? This is really interesting. VI, anybody know what it is yet? This again, anybody want to buy a vowel? Serpent means view. Keep that in mind, lock that in. In the Latin, serpentine means a winding course. A serpent, of course, we know, undulates. It's a winding course, just like your long and winding road there, Wes. Lock that in, what the serpent is. I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deludes Eve by its craftiness. The word deludes is the Greek word expatio, and it means out seduce. The serpent deluded Eve. It seduced her out of something. Out of what? Out of believing what God said. And it's the seduction. It's something very attractive. Let's look at the next word. The serpent deludes Eve. By its craftiness. The word craftiness is the Greek word panorgia, and it means every action. Every action. And I'm going to link that word action to the word view. By its craftiness. Satan was not immobile. Part of the seduction, seeing as how the word Satan, the root element is view, was every action. Craftiness is every action. And it's interesting that the serpent undulates. The serpent moves. And this is what Satan did. He mesmerized Eve by actions. And I want to go down to verse 14 when it says that Satan himself is being transfigured into a messenger of light. Do you know what the Greek word for light is? Phos. P-H-O-S. It's the root word from which we get our English phosphorus. So I think at the very beginning here, we're seeing the basic elements in place for seduction and for toward the means of keeping people from becoming single and pure toward Christ. It's action, it's light. Isn't that what they say in Hollywood? Lights, camera, action? There it is, pretty much. Lights, camera, action. That was Satan's method in the Garden of Eden. Lights, camera, action. In Romans 16, let me turn here real quick. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, speaking of deludes, the word delude that I mentioned there. Now I'm entreating you, brethren, to be noting those who are making dissensions and snares beside the teaching which you learn, and avoid them. For such, for our Lord Jesus Christ, are not slaving. Dissensions. A dissension is a two-stand. It's taking two different, maybe opposing stands. And again, it's this motion. It's going from here to there. And the essence, again, of deception, you see the neon signs. The neon signs move. Or you see the chyrons at the bottom of your television set. They move. And you see the spinning daisies on top of the church signs. Those damned yellow church signs with the spinning daisies. Why do they have it move? Do you see these people that are advertising now? They hire people to stand on the street corner with signs going like this. Right? Why? Every action, view, delude, seduce. I mean, when you're driving using your Waze, anybody drive using Waze for their GPS service? That damn phone knows when you stop. And when you're stopped at a light, an advertisement comes up. You're 200 feet from a Dunkin' Donuts. You've seen it. It's insidious. And all these things are breaking us apart. And I'm going to get to the word break here. The word apprehension is here. As the serpent deludes Eve by its craftiness, every action, your apprehension should be corrupted. Apprehension is mind effect. Noema is the Greek word. Paul's concerned that by some means, phos, light, view, action, you would be taken away. And the church signs with their spinning daisies and the neon signs that flash, flash, flash. Whenever you see pictures of downtown New York or Park Avenue, what do you see? The lights flashing, 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 flashing. What is television? It's a series of flashing, flashing lights that are flashing so fast you don't even see it. You don't even notice it because your mind is too, your eye is too slow even to pick up the phosphors or the light. And we stare at this stuff all the time. We stare at our computers. I do it. I'm mesmerized by that crap. I can't tell you how much time I waste on YouTube. And the thing, I knew this would happen. I knew it. When I got my computer, the first computer I got in 91 or something, it was a Tandy computer. I got it at Radio Shack, 386SX or something like that. But before that, I got to tell you this, my dad had bought me a word processor. It was a Brother word processor because I like to write, and I was writing for the Mansfield News Journal at the time. I was writing for a couple of different newspapers, and I was using a typewriter, for God's sake. So he got me a word processor. But the beautiful thing about this Brother word processor, it was only a word processor. It was not hooked up to any kind of internet. It was just do-do-do-do-do, but it was electronic. Save it on this handy little 3x5 disc that I put into the thing, and that was pretty handy. But then I got a Tandy 386SX, and even that was static for a couple years. There was no internet service. I feared the internet. I really did. I knew that everything was going to change when I got that. I knew it. I had a family at the time. I was married. I had three kids. They were all in the house. And you see, an interesting thing happened when we moved in our house in 1984. My wife and I went on a bicycle trip across the United States in 1984, and we were homeless, literally, because we had sold our stuff in Canton, Ohio. We flew to LA, and this was a different trip than 1980. I did this one with my wife, and we didn't have any place to stay, so her grandparents said, well, there's an old house in the country on the corner where your aunt and uncle live, and but they're in a nursing home, and but their house is sitting there vacant, and we would like you, if you would like to live, you know, rent-free for a year or so. I'm like, sign me up. You know, we can live in this house. So when we got back from the trip in September of 1984, we moved into this house, and but my wife's grandparents said, oh, but one thing. One of the reasons we need you to stay here is because we're afraid that a thief will break in again. We said, what happened? Well, somebody broke in and stole the television. And I never got another one. And I raised my kids without a TV for probably 7 years. I eventually got a little television that was not antenna, it was just, it had a VHS player, so we watched movies. I'd buy them the movies kids love, and we just used that to watch movies. And at the time I had read a book, back in the 80s called Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television by Jerry Mander. Fascinating book, it's just, that's where I knew that the television was the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end times, the beginning of the final years of Millennium 6, because this would be the seduction tool. And I'm seeing it when I'm reading Paul here. That's the strange thing. As the serpent deludes Eve, the serpent deludes Eve with its every action, with its light. Paul's fear was that their apprehensions would be their mind effect. The effect of their mind would be corrupted. Look at this word, corrupted. It's the Greek word, therio. It's from the Latin, corruptus, and it means broken in pieces. Broken in pieces. I would like to tell you that I'm single and pure toward Christ and that my mind's never broken into pieces. But in my mind, this job I have sometimes is so emotionally difficult that people ask me, what do you do for a hobby? Like, how do you get away from it? YouTube. I'll watch the Three Stooges on YouTube. I'll just go from one thing to another, and the thing just keeps dishing up videos. And I really do need to, you know, edit the next book. I really do need to text John about the next audiobook, but here's a story about Billy the Kid. I need to know more about Billy the Kid and how he lived and what he ate for breakfast. What? Why? But suddenly I'm just fascinated in it. And how did Phil Collins get his start in Genesis? Oh, that's gonna be interesting. Oh, Pocahontas. I want to find out about her. Oh, here's something about, you know, cyclones in Taiwan. It's like, why am I chasing all of these freaking serpents? Because they're dished up to me and I don't have the resistance. Oh, eventually I do, but because my mind, I start to feel guilty. It's like, what the hell am I doing here? And I knew that was going to happen in 1991 when I got that computer. Oh, and then the day we hooked up to the internet, I remember that. It was like this magical moment. I was talking to somebody about the first time my family got a color TV. It was probably 1966. We had a black and white set, and then the first color TV, maybe it was 65, and the first thing I saw on the color TV, I was watching a Green Bay Packers game. I was like, wow, they got yellow pants. It's fantastic. Color of your shirt, my friend. It was amazing. I loved it. But then I hooked up to the internet, and we couldn't believe it. My family was around there, and we plugged this wire in, and all of a sudden, these things started happening from outside coming in, and it was moving, and it was alive, and I'm like, oh, shit. At the same time, I was like, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? I'm not sitting here saying everybody get off their devices, but I'm saying it sucks and it's killed us. It's really effed us up and it's dumbed down the entire population of the world, including myself. I would have done so much more by now. I've only published 14 books and that pisses me off because there should be 24 out by now. So this word corruption, whoa, it's a heavy-duty word from the Latin corrupt, it's broken in pieces. And Paul says, corrupted from what? Broken in pieces from what? From the singleness and pureness which is in Christ. It goes back to his reference to present a chaste virgin to Christ. Pureness, agnotis, from the Latin purus, which is unmixed, unmixed, right? An alloy is a mixed metal, but a pure metal like gold or silver, it's unmixed. But the enemy of something being unmixed is that which breaks the apprehension. And it's insidious. You think I can do anything about it? Do you think I'm going to do anything about it? Do you think I'm going to now go to a mountaintop to escape it? Part of me wants to. I really do. Part of me wants to do that, but it's impractical. My work, my life is on the computer. It's making videos, publishing them on YouTube. And of course, I'm on YouTube, and then, ooh, here's a bunch of cats doing funny things. I got to see that. Here's a bunch of masturbating monkeys over here. I got to watch those. Yeah, I went to the zoo. I took my kids. Never mind. Forget it. It's the wine. So let me continue reading. That's the thrust of my message. Don't ask me what productive thing I might have said there, but it would be ideal for us all to trash this stuff. I mean, I think we should try it, really. Okay, I am going to say something helpful. I think it would be a good idea to just take all this stuff away for 2 weeks and see what happens. I mean, I already felt it at that guest house down the hill with no internet. I'm already feeling it. Because I was just sitting there staring at the wall, and it was wonderful. Because the first thing I do in the morning, make my coffee, stir it up, go in there, go to YouTube, and then I see, you know, some Fox News videos or some other news videos or some other news sources that I watch, you know, independent news sources. And then the seduction and the craftiness and the every action and the view and the FOSS. The phosphorus starts from there, right? It's so much easier to do that than to, you know, edit the next book. For if indeed he who is coming, I'm in verse 4 now, is heralding another Jesus whom we do not herald, or you are obtaining a different spirit which you did not obtain, or a different evangel which you did not receive, you are bearing with him ideally. Okay. Here it is. Why would the Corinthians possibly be bearing with someone bringing another Jesus or another evangel or a different spirit which they did not obtain? Why would anybody be susceptible to that? Paul has just set the stage. He realizes that it is possible for the apprehension of these Corinthians to be broken into pieces by the same means by which Eve was deluded by the serpent. And it's not just that you become corrupted or your mind gets broken or you're distracted. It's that the emptiness that results from the consumption of nonsense could, and this was Paul's concern, it wasn't just that. It was that I'm afraid that if you become this way, then you could possibly be open to listening to someone heralding another Jesus whom we do not herald, or obtaining a different spirit which you did not obtain, or a different evangel which you did not receive. And Paul says you are bearing with them ideally. In other words, how could you possibly do that? How could you bear with these people? Well, Paul, we've been dumbed down by Gilligan's Island reruns. And we just, these guys came in bringing the circumcision gospel, you know, we just got done watching a 10-part series on the Civil War, and our minds were open to anything, and that's the problem. You know, your mind becomes open to things, and of course, this is all essential for the situation at the end of this eon. All essential. It's critical, and I'll just close with this. You know, the technology has never been available for two things. I would say, one, you know, when the book of Revelation talks about the two witnesses are laying dead in the street, and the whole world is watching them. How was that possible before television? The whole world's watching the two witnesses, and the whole world is watching as they rise from the dead. That's going to be a good show. What channel's that on? I'm going to watch that. It's actually going to happen. The two witnesses are going to be killed eventually, and they're going to celebrate their bodies in the street. It's going to be on all the news channels. But here's where technology will turn against them, because as the cameras are trained on these dead servants of God, they're going to raise from the dead. Oops, cut to a commercial. Go to the Purina commercial. Too late. Everybody's already seen it. And where's the technology to put the mark of the beast on people that you can't buy or sell? It's money becoming electronic, and it's only possible by the phosphors, by technology. And so all this stuff must happen. But I think it's interesting that it started in the Garden of Eden. Satan's tricks are every motion, having to do with the eyes, having to do with breaking your attention, breaking your apprehension. And there it is. It's right in the Garden of Eden. It's been perfected by the adversary. And he's using apostate Israel to do it, ironically, right? The intoxicant of Babylon from the book of the Unveiling. What's the intoxicant of Babylon? It's mass media, the consumption of mass media, pouring it into your head 24/7. So you're addicted to those phones. I'm addicted to them. We're addicted to these phones and our computers. I'm not here telling you to get rid of anything. I'm just saying how it is. I'm victim too.